Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome to the Dairy Brothers Guardians Cast, your best podcast spot for all things Cleveland Guardians baseball. Presented by WaitingForNextYear.com. Follow Matt on Twitter at DairySpeaks and Todd at TDGuardiansKU. The Dairy Brothers Guardians Cast is on the air.
The 7-2 in first place Cleveland Guardians. Let's talk about them on the Dairy Brothers Guardians Cast. Here we go. WaitingForNextYear.com, Evergreen Podcast Network. Matt Dairy, Todd Dairy with you. A rained out Sunday game, but gives the guards an opportunity to come home for the home opener on Monday, get a little rest, rest the bullpen. Todd, you can't ask for a better week and a half so far. If I would have told you, hey, they're going to go to Oakland, Seattle, and Minnesota and win every series, you would have taken that, right?
Not only that, riding a four-game winning streak into opening the home opener, I mean, that is fantastic. Can't ask for anything more than that. You and I were hopeful. I think we said, I believe you said, got to take at least three from Oakland. And then you were hoping maybe to split those next two series. And in the end, you won them both. You won all three and swept the A's and swept the Twins, essentially. So, or not swept the A's, sorry. Took three or four from the A's and swept the Twins. So, hey, we'll take it. And the way they're doing it is essentially, you know, the 2022 way, which I love. It feels like that vibe is back.
Yeah, they're running. You know, Kwan and Jimenez at the top of the order have just been menaces. The bullpen's been good. I told you the bounty hunter was going to be the real deal.
Woo. I
mean, yesterday he gave the Twins two tickets to the gun show. And, you know, they I don't think they liked that too much. It was, and then they didn't like the goods. I mean, Hunter was unbelievable. I love what the Pens doing. Beedy in the eighth inning, Vogt's got him playing hard. And, you know, even when they don't have a lot of offense in a game like Saturday, you know, Fry hits a three-run bomb. It's all they needed. You still win with pitching, and so far, so good on that front. I mean, yeah, Carrasco hasn't been great, and certainly Bibee will tell you he wants to be better. The Bieber news we'll get into, but all in all, this is how they have to play.
Hey, I'm glad we're starting on the positives. I mean, they in this four-game winning streak, they've allowed five runs in four games. I mean, that is... You can't ask for more than that. And Saturday, you know, Carrasco only went three innings and they ended up using, I believe, five relievers to get through. Six relievers to get through.
Smith, Barlow, Gattis.
Gattis and Clase. Yeah. And, you know, we were, our biggest topic of conversation was going to be, was in this last, podcast we did, you know, how is this bullpen going to shake out? It's actually a good thing because they've given these guys opportunity to jump up and take roles. It seems like Gattis has jumped up and taken that seventh inning role in front of Scott Barlow, you know, who in front of Emmanuel Clase for those three spots. You know, Tyler Beedy has done a nice job in the pen as well. I don't think any of us saw that coming.
No.
You know, especially the first time it was, you know, he was put out there in the eighth because they didn't really have a choice and it worked. And then Clase got the save. That was Tuesday, you know, Beedy pitched the eighth and we were like, oh my God, he's really going to Beedy in the eighth, but he had no choice. And then again, he tried it again on Saturday and it worked again. So, hey, as the great George Costanza once said, go with it until it stops working. So why not? I mean, you know, you can't, We watched last year when guys were injured. It was like, okay, every game was the same. It's like, if you got a lead, it was going to be the same three guys in the back, you know, and it didn't work out as well with Stefan and 99 when 99 then imploded and Big Sam was the guy, whatever. You know, you have to have a multitude of guys who you can trust. And we had this as the biggest question mark on the team, but, you know, a week and a half in, so far so good. I mean, listen, they're going to blow games. Bullpens blow games. That's going to happen.
Of course.
But so far, it's worked. I mean, when they've had a lead, they've held it. And so that's all you can really ask for.
And it's been a lot of fun to watch. And again, they're getting out and running. You see the energy. I think with Steve, you know, Stephen Vogt has empowered these guys. You know, he's got some guys swinging on 3-0. I would say he's got everybody contributing outside of Gabe Arias and Esteban Florial. Everybody's contributing. He can put Laureano out there and feel good about his at-bats. He can put Fry in there. You know, Hedges has contributed, especially on the defensive side. You know, Freeman in center field. And then when Freeman hasn't played, they move guys in and out. It's been okay. Will Brennan has been a machine so far. He's kind of like Rocchio's a doubles machine. That's the thing.
Ropio, you called him?
He's been shooting some ropes and down the right field line. And what, he's got six doubles already? He looks the part. We've been waiting. Now, again, it's a week and a half. All right. In 2 months, we might go, oh my God, Rocchio's 4A. We might, but I don't think we will. He looks the part. He's playing good defense. That play yesterday that he and Jimenez made probably saved a run. And he's hitting line drives and he looks comfortable. So, and he's putting the ball in play. So, you know, we questioned a lot of these young guys and how they were going to turn out. And so far, like you said, and again, going out west and having to play in Oakland in that weird stadium with the weird stuff going on to win 3 of 4 where they probably should have swept was great. Seattle is never an easy place to play. And it seems like the Guardians always seem to play well in that stadium. And then look, Minnesota in the cold weather and their home opener, and you're going up against Pablo Lopez and Joe Ryan and you beat both those guys. Sign me up. That looks, you know, and I know there's some national folks, you know, already lathering in that Detroit butter and they're going to make the playoffs. Well, they just lost 2 out of 3 to Oakland at home. Shea Cakes is A's taking care of business against the unnamed team. So we can pump the brakes on Team Benetti going to the World Series and slow your roll there. We got the Central right now. This is our division right now. It is. I told you before the season we were winning this thing.
Yes, you did.
I like this team, Todd. I like it. I do too.
I do too, but it's 9 out of 160.
I know. I'm trying.
You know, let's pump the brakes at the pad.
And, you know, I'm usually Mr. Negative. And what's funny is yesterday when you and the executive producer, Jeremy, were texting about Bieber, I said, next man up. Let's go. Jeremy's like, I like this positivity from you.
Yeah, yeah.
I just like the look of this team. I like how they look. I like how they're playing. You know, look, I don't know if they're not going to play at a whatever 7-2 is for winning percentage clip, but I still like how it looks. And now you come home, you're playing the White Sox. Oh, my God, you got to mash against that team. That team is decimated. That team stinks to begin with. And now their two best players, Jimenez and Luis Robert, are both on the injured list. So,
yeah, no excuses. And you're going to get nice weather the next few days, too. So it looks like things are lining up. I red buttoned earlier myself.
There you go.
So yeah. So in the meantime, I am very excited about the start. I mean, if you think about it, there was mostly negativity surrounding this franchise all off.
It usually is, Tom.
But this season felt like more so than normal. You didn't have Tito out there anymore. I was ready to move. I mean, listen, Tito's the greatest manager in the history of the organization, and I will love the guy forever. But you and I both were ready for a new voice. And what Stephen Vogt has brought so far, it's just that we discussed this, you know, after the Oakland series, but this new feel, this new vibe, the positivity, Tyler Beattie coming in and bringing this WWE championship belt love and it. They're giving it to the best player, you know, each game after they win. And it just, they seem like a connected clubhouse, which is good. And it just seems like they've been almost like reborn in a way, which I love. And I think a lot of that is Stephen Vogt.
I think a lot of it is Vogt. I think some of it is Hedges and Carrasco being back.
That's a great call.
You got to have some veterans. And I think last year's team was very young. They were very young. And Josh Bell was not a leader. Mike Zunino, the guys all liked, but you know, he just couldn't perform. It's tough to, you know, back up a veteran player when he can't even catch the ball. I mean, Mike Zunino had problems catching the baseball. So like that was an issue, but you know, if Hedges, you know, Hedges and Carrasco coming back, I think gives it, like you said, that 2022 feel a little bit and that vibe. And they're just, I like that they're putting the ball in play. I love last year, 2022, their batting average with balls in play was outrageous. Last year, it kind of went back down to the mean. This year, the other teams booting the ball. I mean, the Twins with the errors, the A's, even Seattle had that one game where they were fumbling the ball over the infield. So,
but last year's team wouldn't have taken advantage of it, and this year's team so far has done so. I mean, you're seeing when they get the extra outs, you're getting the guys home. The line is moving, and it's 1 through 9.
Yeah,
I mean, that's what's been so great about it. And it's not like it's the same 9 guys. You know, Vogt's done such a good job of getting everyone at bats and keeping everyone fresh. I mean, can we talk about big game Dave? David Fry, your
amazing
guy.
Amazing.
But he's picked and choose his spot. He's picked and chosen, English version, his spots with Fry, and it's worked. I mean, here, Saturday, we look at the lineup and you're like, why is Fry catching today? Like, that doesn't seem to make sense.
Yeah, but it worked.
It was a right-hander, and he had a 3-run homer.
He had a 3-run homer, and if you watched him behind the plate, the framing that he did was really good. Like, that home plate umpire, both Friday and Saturday's home plate umpires were a mess and all over the place. And yesterday was like, I don't know, what was a strike? What was a ball? Bo Naylor got called out on a pitch a Saturday that was ridiculous, but I like the frame. I like the framing that Fry did. He's much better back there. And look,
yes, vastly improved. And
they need that right-handed power bat. We've talked about
PB mother. No, so it, honestly, he DH'd Bo twice this week, and in the first time he did, I believe it was in Tuesday's win.
Yeah,
and Bo hit it, and Bo went deep, and we were like, "This is genius." You want his bat in the lineup? That's why he's up. He's not up for his glove as much as he's not. He's improved defensively, but the reason why Bo Naylor is here is for his bat, and he DH'd him, which I love. Tito would not have DH'd Bo Naylor ever. It's like Bo's got a day off. He's not going to play at all. He DH'd him. It worked.
Yeah. I don't, and you look at
the
bullpen had the bad game in Oakland, and then McKenzie was kind of a no show. And that'll get us to the Tristan start certainly tomorrow, but on Monday. All in all, like you said, some decisions making has been good, and they're just, there's no two, when Zunino hit eighth and Straw hit ninth, they had back-to-back automatic outs last year in the lineup. When you got to 8 and 9, it was over.
That was
now
brutal.
You got Rocchio hitting ninth and the guy's hitting over 300. So I love it. I do love it. And it's very early, very early.
Yes.
These guys might regress. Can Jimenez keep this up? Kwan's a machine right now. But there's some depth there. Guys are getting subbed in and out. Guys are getting opportunities. And look, when there's competition, I mean, David Fry has to compete for his lineup spot every day. He doesn't get to play every day. So when he's out there, he's showing, hey, you better keep me in this lineup. So if Vogt has tough decisions to make, that's a good thing.
It's very also going to be very interesting because I don't think Estevan Florial is long for this team. He gave him some opportunities in the first probably 4 or 5 games, and then you didn't see him as much after that. I don't know what kind of leash he has, but with Manzardo knocking at the door and crushing balls at AAA, the obvious move is to send him out and bring up Manzardo. I believe Gabriel Arias will stick because he's going to be the utility man, but let's be honest, the guy can't hit. We both know it.
No. And it's already been a rough start for him offensively. But again, he hasn't played much. But with these days off, you have the rain out and you have the off day in between the home opener for Minnesota Thursday and Saturday, they're in good shape. I mean, now they got, they have another off day coming up this Thursday. You got 3 at home with the White Sox. Yankees come in. You're not going to have to face Garrett Cole. Isn't LeMahieu hurt? So you're catching a little bit of a scheduling break, but all in all, like we said, I mean, like the look of what they're doing. You love the defense up the middle. Freeman has been great in center field. He's done a really good job.
Unbelievable.
The tough plays at the wall. The Straw would have probably made those plays. The one in Minnesota the other night on the
kill. I don't know if he would make them, but you know what? What you noticed is on that play, Brennan was right there.
to back
and
up. Yes.
To back it up. But yes, he's going to get used to that, playing it off the wall or deciding what he's going to do. But as I've said on this pod before, you have Gold Glove caliber players to the left and to the right, which helps Freeman. But Freeman is making, you know, he doesn't look lost out there at all.
No.
And if he, and you know what else helps? Up the middle defensively, they are so strong with Rocchio and Jimenez. I mean, that is, I'm getting texts from Ags, and you know, we were talking about this too, and it's like, this is the new Robbie and Omar up the middle. I mean, these guys are unbelievable.
I think we can defensively pump the brakes a little bit, but
no, but I, Jimenez is Robbie Alomar.
He's unreal. Love.
He's unreal. He's everywhere.
He is everywhere. He is having a dominant week and a half. Andrés Giménez is back. I mean, this is your boy. This is the 2022 version, plus 1,000. I mean, he's just spraying the ball over the yard. At the plays he's making are unbelievable. Even that hard hit ball on the 4-6-3 on Saturday was not an easy play. But even plays he's not making, he's been unbelievable. There's a reason he won that platinum glove. And I love that they're hitting him second. I got no issue with that against righties.
Nope.
You know, he shows bunt and you go, no, what are you doing? And then he hits the ball hard. Like he's
that love of the bunt is bothers me. And
they haven't done it.
But you know him. He's always
a lot, but it hasn't been like Kwon bunted for a base hit a few days ago.
That worked. Yeah.
Right. But all in all, they're swinging it. They've actually shown some power. You know, rarely did we see a win last year where it was a 3-1 win and it was because of a three pointer, as Rick Manning would like to say. Arch.
2-for-1 ball.
That's right. 2-for-1 ball, double barrel action, 3-pointer. We could throw them all out there. I'm going to go. I'll be honest. Last week we were a little harsh on the broadcast. They were good Friday and Saturday. I didn't bring the volume down. They were on it. They were good. I thumbs up to the crew.
Okay.
And Redbird. Thumbs up to Redbird for the stats. Whoever that is.
What about Tommy Bowe? What about him? Don't they talk about him?
Is a legend. I mean, that goes without saying. Who hasn't worked with him, but we're brought to you by the Center for Advanced Dentistry. Of course, Breaking Tea t-shirts at breakingtea.com/dairy. Get your gear for the home opener tomorrow. Todd will be there. Also, Rise and Grind Fitness. They're right there on Chagrin Boulevard in Woodmere. What's going on over there? You've been a busy man. I've seen a lot of videos on the gram.
You know, other than this piriformis injury I have, and I have not been able to work out for 3 weeks. So,
How are you feeling, by the way?
I am,
run a class, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I have someone do demo for me when I can't do the, like deadlifting right now is not my forte because this is a lower back and, you know, nerve problem down my leg,
what
but I'll be,
crunches?
I'll be fine. I can't do any crunch. That's like the worst thing for me right now.
No.
But in the meantime,
lunges, what about reverse lunges?
I have no problem with reverse lunges. Yeah, now that my brother, this is a little peek behind the curtain for everybody. My brother is now, I don't know if it's through osmosis of me or him deciding getting his life back or getting his old body back together or his wife or whatever. But
oh, man.
The D's is looking real tough these days.
Trying,
ladies and gentlemen.
Trying.
You should see this guy. I saw a photo of him in a Guardians t-shirt when he was on his last vacation. I'm like, who is this guy?
I
saw some traps popping up out of that neck. I was very impressed, but you know how I got it? He got that going. He took his first Rise and Grind bike boot camp, Revolution bike boot camp.
I did.
And something clicked. Now he's with Gunner, the trainer, and everything is great for the Mr. and Mrs. D's. They are looking so fine. Don't you agree?
Right.
And come to Rise and Grind Fitness. Check out our Instagram at Rise, RYZE and Grind Fitness. Check out the videos that Matt's talking about. It'll show you the classes we have. We have cycle, we have bike boot camp, we have bar class. Our bar program is terrific. If you like interval strength training, we have that too. We have it all. So come check us out. Also at riseandgrind.com or at Rise and Grind Fitness, as I said, on Instagram. Come check us out. We're at the corner Chagrin and Brainerd in beautiful downtown Woodmere, Ohio. So come check us out. Tell them I sent you. First class is free.
Don't you know that you're a grown up?
I'm a grown up.
Me too.
Yep, me too. But you know, these days, being a grown up can really suck.
Luckily, we're grown ups who grew up in the coolest generation.
We had video arcades.
And also some of the best TV and movies ever made.
We lived the origin of awesome consumer electronics. The list goes on and on.
Yep, Generation X.
Exactly.
And we're Gen X Grown Up.
Every week, the Gen X Grown Up podcast explores media, tech, toys, games, and more from both yesterday and today.
Through the eyes of Generation Xers who absolutely love that stuff. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
Or find us on our website, GenXGrownUp.com. Life sucks as a grown-up. All right, I think that was good enough.
I hope so, man. I'm tired.
Who listens to a promo on a podcast and then goes and listens to a different podcast?
Right.
I've never done it.
Right. By the way, I mean, we got to get into the Shane Bieber injury. So what a devastating blow Saturday. You see in the tweets, you know, Zach had it. And then of course the Guardians put it out there. So Shane, it's just, what's weird about it is obviously his first two starts with Shane Bieber was the Shane Bieber of old, dominant, good velocity, all the pitches working. I see you working. And then just out of nowhere, like Saturday, they announced Tommy John surgery. I'm of the belief, next man up, Gavin Williams is going to get healthy, and we roll along. But from a Bieber standpoint, from a long term, from a can they trade him, all these things, that's all out the window now. And of course, it's devastating. But what was your reaction?
Well, like you, I was completely taken aback. I got a text from someone was like, "Man, that sucks about Bieber. He's having such a great season." And I was like, "What?" And then I went to the top of my Twitter. And it was, he's out for the year with, and needs Tommy John surgery. You know, normally we hear like the Spencer Strider situation in Atlanta, sore UCL going in for an MRI. We heard nothing about a sore UCL at all. And this is some classic Indians/Guardians MO, keeping those injuries very, very quiet. And then out of nowhere, we get this information. Even my source, who normally tips me off to this stuff, I didn't have from my source.
Nothing,
and normally, normally I'll hear some rumblings ahead of time and I'll let you and the executive producer know, but I heard nothing. And then all of a sudden there it was. And here's what I'll say. I'm devastated for him personally because he was, number one, he was pitching so well. And number two, this was his time to cash in. If he had a great season, he was in line for a huge payday. And now he hits free agency coming off of a year off of Tommy John surgery, of needing Tommy John surgery. And he's been injured three of the last 4 years. He has. He's missed time. Yeah. So, you know, you had the injury question marks to begin with. Now he's coming off of that. And he's probably going to have to take a 1 year prove it deal next year somewhere.
And won't start the season on time.
Yeah.
Wherever he signs.
I mean, listen, maybe it opens the door for him to come back here for one more season. I don't know. I doubt it. But, you know, it's sad for him because he's a good dude. He puts in the work. Everyone likes him. You never hear anything negative about him at all. And it just sucks for him, especially with the way he was pitching. Like, it'd be one thing if his first two outings were total shit and, you know, you were like, something's clearly not right with this guy. And then we heard it. He was awesome.
Awesome.
20 strikeouts and 20, one walk. Right.
2-0, 2-0, 20 Ks, and just dominant. And that's what sucks. And he'd worked so hard to get back. I mean, what an offseason to go to Driveline, to get the curveball to where he wanted it to be, where he was throwing it with confidence. And this is horrible. But again, this is an organization that really can produce pitchers. Now, Cantillo's hurt. It's not much of Columbus at the moment. I know Curry is there. They've got to stretch him out a little bit more. Gavin Williams will be back hopefully soon. They said he was throwing some pitches this week. So now you kind of have to just piecemeal it for now. And then when Gavin comes back, you know, everybody moves up a spot.
Yeah,
Carrasco stays on as your fifth starter. But Carlos's problem is he's just throwing too many pitches. He's got the full arsenal going, and he pitched okay yesterday. But after three innings, he's already at 80 pitches. You have to pull the plug.
And we talked about this, you know, last time. I mean, he has to be so fine because his fastball is not more, you know, he's throwing 90, 91. He walked three guys. He threw 78 pitches in three innings, and they were like, we got to, you know, we got to cut our losses here.
Yeah,
he,
but look at the
he
strikeouts.
He kept getting out of trouble.
Look at the strikeouts yesterday.
Yeah, six strikeouts.
He did well.
Which was
he
great.
He didn't pitch badly. He just threw too many pitches.
If Carrasco's your fifth starter and it's a five and fly situation every single time, it also hurts your pen, you know, every time you're like, well, can we count on this guy to go more than five? I think Curry will be the first guy that they make the call to. And Curry, to me, I would rather have Curry. You know, Curry has last year, he thrived in that, I don't want to call it long roll, but middle roll.
Yeah.
And you stretch him out, and I would keep him kind of like as a piggyback for Carrasco. But you're also, when Gavin Williams is ready, this isn't going to be a situation where, hey, Gavin's ready. Now he's going to throw seven innings every time. It's not going to be like that. They're going to have to, they're building him up slowly. I mean, he's not coming back this month. No way. Like, he will not be ready probably until May 1st. Also, Ben Lively, who we haven't mentioned yet, he has been building up at AAA as well. And, you know, I've been reading that, you know, all these things that they Stephen Vogt loved him in the spring, according to Mandy Bell. So he's also on, if I said this already, yeah, he's on option. So he's got to come up. So yeah. I think you're going to see some movement here. What I don't want to see is right now, Cade Smith getting sent down.
No,
we did not talk about him when we talked about the bullpen. He's been awesome. I'm sorry, Eli Morgan, nice kid. He ain't it. It's Eli's got to be the one that gets sent out. I think cousin Matt thinks that he still has options left.
Eli?
Yes.
I think so, too.
If he has options left, I'm sending him out before I'm sending out Cade Smith. Where's the upside with Eli? There isn't. Cade Smith could be a dominant reliever. So, to me, Curry and Lively come up. You know, they activated this Peter
Kitzmiller,
the lumbar yard.
That's right.
Good vertebrations. How do you pronounce his last name? Strzelczuk or something? I don't know.
I don't even know. I don't even know who he is. I gotta be honest.
That was
I
one of the
everybody.
Two guys they traded for cash.
Right.
Just before the season started, and put him on the 40 man for extra, you know, bullpen arms. He was brought up in the Bieber spot just because, you know, add an extra
for now.
Arm
right
for now. Right. But interestingly enough, and you and I were talking before we hit record, was they have an off day on Thursday.
Strzelecki.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they have an off day on Thursday, which means they don't need a fifth starter. So really you can, you know, leave things how they are. You got that off day Thursday,
and then
you know, then it's Friday. You know, your next off day is not for a while, so you got it until Monday the 22nd. So you won't need a fifth starter until Saturday the 13th. So really, you know, or no, I'm sorry, not Saturday the 13th.
They could go all week.
No, they can go the whole way. I'm sorry. The next time they will need that starter will be Thursday in Boston on April 18th.
18th, correct.
That's the day they will need an extra starter. So, you know, you can go a week and a half, you know, with an extra pen arm, which will probably serve them well, because like we said before, Carrasco doesn't seem to be going more than five. And then, you know, you don't know what you're going to get lengthwise from McKenzie. He has to prove things otherwise. We got to get into that. Logan Allen, Bybee, and are both going to need to really be leaned on here, which is important. But again, you know, Logan Allen and Bybee are still in their second. This is their first full season in the majors. So, you know, you're putting a lot on these young kids' shoulders, especially now without Bieber. So, you know, someone's going to have to step forward. I said at the beginning of the year that Gavin Williams was going to be the best starter, but, you know, obviously he's not healthy. It's on right now. It's on Bybee and Allen, because again, you don't know what you're going to get with McKenzie. I am very interested to see how this next start goes.
Oh, and by the way, and I think you probably saw this. Do you see it was trending on Twitter yesterday?
No.
Trevor Bauer.
Oh, guys, yes. Okay. Yeah.
Guys, it's not happening.
The answer is no. 100%. No.
There's a reason nobody wants him. It's not happening. Strider's going to be out for the year. You think the Braves are signing him? No way. Guardians, no. We know they know who he is.
This organ, it's not like here. This isn't a situation where he was a good dude, good teammate, guys liked him, and he was wrongfully accused. He was not a favorite of the people in the clubhouse.
Right.
He wasn't favorite of the front office. He was prickly. He had all kinds of issues, not including all of this other shit that turned out to be, you know, false accusations. And so, you know, does he deserve the right to work? Yes, he, you know, there is absolutely, but not here. I do not want that guy infesting this locker room. Right. And I'm sorry to say it. And I know there's going to be people that are going to be like, how can you not say the guy who was wrongfully accused and the second chance? And
sure, he was.
Fine, do it somewhere else. I don't need that here. Dodgers wanted him. He signed all that money with the Dodgers. And before all this came out, they all hated him. No one liked him here. I mean, he had his little minions, you know, Plesak and Clevenger. But where are Plesak and Clevenger right now?
Yeah.
I don't even think Plesak's on a major league roster.
He's not. And
he make the Reds? No. And Clevenger just signed with the White Sox.
Yeah, just signed, and he's down in the minors getting ready. So,
Absolutely not. It's the worst idea in the world.
No. There's a reason. I mean, everybody needs pitching. You know, the Yankees lose Gerrit Cole. The Braves lose Strider. We lose Bieber. Do you hear anybody calling up number 27? No. Nobody wants him. He even said, I'll pitch for the minimum.
47.
He was 47 with us. I think he was 27 with the Dodgers. Doesn't matter. Pitch for the minimum doesn't matter. You do not want that in your locker room, in your club.
Especially around this young club, new manager. We're really going to, you know,
not a
put
chance.
That on Steven Vogt?
No way.
No way.
No. I mean, and you're right. He does deserve to pitch somewhere, and maybe he'll get a chance. But there's a reason he's out of the game. Not a single team wants him. And of course, he's got great stuff. It's not happening, folks. I couldn't believe I saw that yesterday. He was trending.
You know who was big on that was our friend Nick Wilson. He was like, maybe we should think about that. And then,
really?
Nick's creating content. Nick's creating content. I get it.
it's a topic. It's a sports radio topic. But
it's a definite sports radio topic.
It's also not happening.
No, not definitely here. Not.
No. This is a feel good story so far, winning seven out of nine.
I'd like to finish this topic by quoting one David Freaky Friedman. You can jack off, but not in my town.
Oh my God. Ay.
That's right. Don't want that guy anywhere near my franchise. He'll probably sue me for slander. He'll probably, you know, someone will probably at him.
Oh, do you believe these guys are talking about you like this? We're not even.
I'm looking forward to that cease and desist, Trev.
Hey,
you know what else?
From the Gutter to the Grail was great rap. That was actually a very good song.
You and I were also his biggest defenders.
I love
the drone incident, and everyone's like, "Do you believe this guy?" And you and I were the ones going, "If he was cooking and he cut his finger with a knife, would anybody have cared?"
I was
What's
a
the
fan.
Difference?
I was actually a fan of his.
I know
when he lost me. He lost me in Kansas City when he threw the ball over the fence.
I believe
that's
it or not,
when he lost me.
I bought Andrew a Bauer jersey, and we got it autographed by him at one of those Guardians fests back in the day.
From the Gutter to the Grill.
Andrew dressed up as him for Halloween that year. He had he put like a bloody finger on, and he had his Bauer jersey.
Oh man, good times, good times.
Yep, sure was.
There were some outings. I mean, how about the time when they like suspended him or they got rid of him and he showed back up at the stadium with a camera crew?
No, that was when they traded him. He went during the game and he was walking around the outfield
with a backpack on
in the middle of the game.
Right. Crazy. Absolutely crazy. All right.
What else do we need to discuss?
I think we've touched
pitching
on everything.
Matchups. Let's get some pitching. Let's go, King.
How about that women's championship game today? Man, that was great stuff.
Awesome.
Great stuff.
Awesome. I watched the final four game. The LSU Iowa game was
just
was
awesome.
Awesome. And this game was the LSU Iowa game was better. This was still great. The executive producer was in the building.
Oh, yeah. Mikester.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy
Mikester's photos of the game?
Let's move on. let's move along here. I will say this. Anybody that hates on Caitlin Clark, or if any of these talk shows tomorrow do the what's her legacy because she didn't win a championship, then they need to be removed from the air. Seriously.
She made two titles, and she made, I'm not saying she made the game interesting. Man. Everyone was watching.
Oh, you're all watching because of her. So stop.
Everybody's yeah. Stars. Listen, it's a tale as old as time. Stars make the sport, and she is the biggest superstar in the sport. And you know, the semifinal game, I saw a stat. It was rated higher than every NBA finals game last year. Every World Series game last year,
yeah.
All the college football playoffs, not the national championship game, but all the other college football bowl games. And, you know, it just, you can't, and the men, and it'll have a better, I bet it has a better rating than the men's tournament. For sure it will.
No, I think it will.
And it was the biggest women's basketball game in the history of, you know, it was like every single time she plays, it just keeps going up, up, and up. So you can't hate on her. You can't. And, there's nothing to hate.
And the games were all played at Gund Arena. So that was pretty cool.
Gonorrhea.
Typecast. A lot of Seinfeld tonight. All right. By the way, quick shout out to Cousin Matt. You mentioned him before, but he got all that TV time in Seattle.
I know.
Him and
Andre talked about his family and the story of Jory.
Shout out to Andre Knott. That was good research. Very well done.
Pretty cool. Cousin Matt's entire family got some love, and the best was he was literally like texting me and you
in the middle, and
Underwood said something like, "He knows he's on TV now. Look, he's texting."
Yeah, because we're the ones that told him.
Oh, so good.
We're the ones that bailed you out.
That's right.
All right. So you're going tomorrow, home opener after the Eclipse, 5-10 against the White Sox, who are 1-8, blew another game today against the Royals. They're just horrible. Like, they just signed Robbie Grossman. That's how bad the White Sox are. Tristan McKenzie will start the home opener tomorrow. Hopefully a better performance. The White Sox don't have a fifth starter at the moment, so they're going to be calling somebody up from the minors, according to White Sox insider Scott Merkin. So I was doing some show prep. That guy's covered the White Sox for like 20 years.
Where's Bruce Levine?
Bruce is all over it. Dave Kaplan, let's do it.
Catman.
yes. Then on Tuesday, Logan Allen at 6-10 against Mike Soroka. Have you seen him pitch the last two outings?
I have not, but he was on the Braves and he was great until he got hurt.
Yes. He's not been the same.
No.
Tanner Bibee against Eric Fetty on Wednesday.
Former Nationals great Eric Fetty. Yeah,
that's right. Then a day off on Thursday, and then the Yankees come to town next weekend. You get early.
Seth Forrest, New York Yankees.
At the Bronx Bombers. Carrasco and Clark Schmidt on Friday. Saturday, McKenzie against Luis Gill. And then Sunday, Allen against
Nestor Cortez.
Yes. So there you go.
I will be.
Yeah. What are your games you going to?
The schedule for your boy is Monday, Friday, Sunday. This week.
Oh, yeah. We're going to get some night games here, which are needed.
We haven't had one.
The Shadows yesterday. What's that?
We haven't had one 6 or 7 p.m. game yet for us.
No. And the Shadows in Minnesota yesterday were brutal. Like late innings, no one was hitting, you know, except Correa.
I love beating
Carlos Correa.
Me too. I hate him, but he is damn good.
Damn. Oh, yeah, he is. But I do like beating him. All right, so that'll do it for another installment of the Dairy Brothers Guardians cast. Anything else? You got anything else? Any shout-outs? Anything else you want to mention?
No. Shout-out to the Silverman family. Had an excellent time at the bat mitzvah last night. Good food.
Really
good food. Oh, yeah. It was catered by this – by their catering was by Flour and this Forno, which is a – this is a free plug – they have a wood fire pizza company called Forno. They come to you and they cook outside. And it was this pepperoni bread. Oh, these, you would have loved it. It was fantastic. And their daughter Reese was, they have a daughter Reese also, like you. And Reese was, might have been the best I've ever heard. She was unbelievable. And they had a Reese's bar full of every Reese's candy you could imagine. They had sticks, they had the big cup, they had pieces, had a big cup with puffs I've never seen before.
Oh yeah,
it was a stone groove, my man.
That sounds good. Quick shout out and congratulations, Anthony Broom. I saw him at opening day on Friday down at
your old friend.
Anthony Broom, former or now he was at Mason Brew for a long time, 24/7 Sports. He got engaged. And I saw he and his fiance at the game Friday as I was walking in. Yes, I did survive opening day down at Comerica Park.
I was going to say, I have one more, but we never discussed that. How'd that go for you?
It was fine. I actually
did anybody taunt you or anything?
What's that?
Did anybody taunt you or
anything? No. I got one like quick Guardian suck, but the guy high-fived me and was smiling. but that was very minor. No, it was a good time. And I love the guy, this guy, Patrick Barrow, that I took to the game, was one of the people that was with me. Canna hits a home run for the Tigers and just stares down the A's dugout. Like this is a no-doubt team.
Yeah.
And so Pat's next to me and he goes, next time he's up, I'm drilling him. And I'm like, oh, you're old. I gave him a little fist bump. I'm like, nice. That's old school. I go, you know, that's not happening. He's like, why not? I go, because it's 2024. They don't do that anymore. And lo and behold.
Oh, yeah, they do. Well, I saw something this week where someone got drilled in the ribs.
Chaz McCormick.
That's what it was. Yeah.
Chad McCormick tried to A-rod and smack the ball out of the first baseman's glove.
Yeah. That's what it was.
That was a little bit more egregious. Canna claims he was looking in the crowd. But regardless, I did survive, and it was a good time had by all. Look, I'll go to a baseball game anytime. And, you know,
let's talk about your top there, your zip up sweatshirt. It's looking good.
Did you get this one for me? No, I bought this one.
I got
one.
You the one with the red sleeves, like the
jacket. That's my jacket one. Yeah. This one I got. This was my first purchase.
Guardians purchase with the
when
new
we
seat.
Changed the logo. Yes.
Well, so. I will be sporting tomorrow. If you're looking for me, I'll be wearing my new Guardians with the baseball with the G in the wings hoodie, and it's
really
fantastic. And I've turned the corner on that logo. It's not as bad as I used to think it was. I know it's a very controversial take, but it's not so bad. And then our last shout out yesterday was Big 12 Molly's birthday, the producer's daughter, and shouts to her and Sanjay. Let's just put that out there.
Man, we got a lot of inside bits.
Oh, yeah. Well, he is the executive producer, and she, you know, come on. Big 12 Molly's the best.
7-2. Your Cleveland Guardians. The season ended today. Be Guardians and Pirates in the World Series. How about that?
Yeah, Doug and I were talking about that last weekend. And when, the Buccos came back and won today, they scored the bottom of the ninth. They came back and beat the Orioles. And I said, I'll see you in October.
we don't have the best record in the American League. The Yankees actually do. They're eight and two.
Yeah.
We have the second best, and the Pirates. Well, listen,
they should be 8-2. Their payroll's $300 million.
Crazy. Well, they'll get their comeuppance when they come to
that's right.
All right, for Todd, Matt, we thank the for our friends at the Evergreen Podcast Network, waitingfornextyear.com. Of course, Joe, Craig, and the whole crew. We are out of room and out of here.
Hit Pass Moto, sponsored by Moto America, is the show that keeps you up to speed on the latest in motorcycling and brings the biggest names in motorcycle racing right to you. From candid interviews with the top names in racing to providing insights into the trends and trendsetters driving the motorcycle industry, we have you covered. New episodes are available every Thursday at pitpassmoto.com and on your favorite podcast app. Ride on!